Good morning. Happy Monday. How y'all liking this cooler weather? It feels so much better in here than it did last week. I am thankful to God for the cooler weather. So we're now a good ways into Jesus' sermon on discipleship. And he's describing for us in this sermon what the capital C church looks like when God is running the show. And the big point that Jesus is trying to drive home in this sermon is that when all the Jesus followers are living the way that God longs for them to live, we all together are building our life, our whole life, in Christ. Where following Jesus isn't just one of the things that we do alongside of being captain of this team and president of this club and a student in this class and a volunteer at this place, but following Jesus is the framework out of which we do all these other things. It's the foundation off of which we jump into all these other things. And that's what Jesus is trying to help his disciples imagine here in Matthew chapter 5-7. He's saying, close your eyes. Imagine with me a community that looks like this. The poor in spirit are lifted up. The church gives light to the world. There's no murder, there's not even any anger. And people of all different types are reconciled to each other and to God in worship. There's no adultery and there's no lust. And everyone lives in healthy relationships with healthy sexuality. And then we get to this section on divorce. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 31 through 32 from Matthew chapter 5. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, anyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of unchastity causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. This is the word of the Lord. Yikes! Tough words to swallow, Jesus. A pastor that I really respect said that sometimes when he reads this passage, he almost feels like he needs to apologize for Jesus to his congregation. And I'm like, right? Because I bet that almost every person in this room has been touched by divorce in some way. And every one of those situations is unique. So who is it for you? Family member, a friend, a dad that moved out, a mom that let you down? It's a familiar story to just about every other person in the country, and it's often full of hurt and pain. And so when Jesus launches into this teaching on divorce, I don't know about you, but I hold my breath. I wince a little bit. Because there have been times that the church has used this passage to make a painful situation even more painful. I'll tell you that the church has used this passage in my own family's life to make our painful situation even more painful. And I don't think that's what Jesus was trying to do here. You see, we love to take these verses and individualize them, to make them into these list of things that I should do and that you shouldn't do. But that's why it's so important to remember the context in which these verses sit. Remember that Jesus is sitting here on a mountainside and he's talking to a group of his disciples and he's casting a vision for what he wants this group, this community, to look like. He's describing a vision for their community. He's not prescribing a way for each of them to get into heaven. And there are two things that I want to pull out of this description. First, Jesus is painting a picture of faithfulness. Faithfulness in marriage that reflects God's faithfulness. And that's beautiful. It is a beautiful way for the world to be able to look at the church and get just some sort of taste of what God is like. Jesus has been working through, you'll remember, Jesus has been working through a series of these phrases, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And he's trying to draw this picture for his disciples of what it looks like when you don't just follow the rules, but when you develop these instincts, these habits of a Christian. So here, Jesus is saying, look, it's not just how to go about divorcing your spouse correctly or politely. Jesus says, marriage in this community is taken with utmost seriousness. It's not a contract that you can quit when you're bored or unhappy. It's not like your cell phone plan. For you Gwyneth Paltrow fans out there, I'm sorry, but there's no such thing as conscious uncoupling. Have you all heard of this phrase? Some celebrities in Hollywood, when they feel like their marriage has run their course and they want to separate and move on, they don't want to call it divorce, they call it conscious uncoupling. That's not a thing for Jesus. Marriage, instead, is a forever thing. It's a pinky promise times a million when things are good and also when things are bad. It's marked by faithfulness when life is hard and truthfulness when mistakes are made and steadfastness when changes come. A lifelong covenant, not a contract that you've got to re-up every 2 years. It's a covenant that's modeled after God's covenant with us, so it stands for something really important. And so when this marriage relationship is broken, when that promise is broken, God grieves. God grieves. If you have ever grieved the loss of a marriage that's touched your life in some way, you don't have to feel ashamed or guilty or like you have to grieve in secret. Because, friends, God grieves with us. God longs for marriage, especially with those in the church, to be marked by a faithfulness that reflects God's faithfulness. But my second point, if that's not you, if your family isn't marked by that sort of faithfulness, that's not the only way to reflect God's faithfulness. So this second point is important, especially as I'm hearing all of these jokes about ring by spring and I'm seeing the desperation in some of these seniors' eyes. The second thing I want to pull out of this description is that you don't need to be married to be part of the church. If God were running the show, and if the church was acting accordingly, you wouldn't need a spouse and 2.5 kids as a ticket into the good life. You don't need to have that sort of family to be part of the church because the church is our family. A little background to flesh this out a little bit more. Remember, the context of these verses is 2,000 years ago. First century AD. Ladies, we just got the right to vote in the 20th century AD. Okay, so we've come a long way, but 2,000 years ago, women were in a really different spot. A divorce for a woman back then was an economic crisis. It was a relational issue, I'm sure, but it was also very much an economic issue, an issue of having food on the table and a home to sleep in. Without a husband, and with this shame of divorce, a woman had very few options in front of her. But Jesus is saying that in this new community of Christians, this new community is going to run counterculture to that. With these people in the church that have developed instincts of deep friendship with one another and deep generosity with one another. A divorced woman doesn't need to worry about remarrying to survive. She doesn't need to be married or have a family to make it because the church, We as a church are her family. We as the church should surround one another with the resources and the support and the love that you need to flourish no matter your relationship status. So faithfulness in marriage reflects God's faithfulness to us, and that's really important, but it's not the only way to reflect God's faithfulness in our relationships. So maybe instead of living under this pressure to find a spouse while you're here, thinking that's going to be your ticket to the good life, maybe we can live into the freedom of just being this community right here, right in this moment of life, this community of college students that reflects God's faithfulness to a watching world. Let's pray. God, I lift up anyone here who is struggling with the pain of divorce or any of its ripple effects. God, we long for the day when there is no divorce. Help us to imagine how we can begin to live out your faithfulness here, right now. God, may we have the grace enough to listen to your leading and the courage enough to act. We pray this in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.